Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
That's a new open, actually. That's pretty dope. Aaron Rupar from Public Notice Newsletter joining us here, courtesy of the John Schuster Cole Banker Hotline. What do you think of that, Aaron?
Hey, Henry, I missed the first part of what you said there. I just heard the last couple words.
No, I just said that was an even newer open. I said, what do you think of that?
It sounded so good that I think it blew up my audio there for a minute. I heard the first part of it and then your voice right after that. But I appreciate you guys have the personalized intro for me. That's really cool.
That's dope, man. All right, so let's dive into this. Several things I want to get to leading up to the interview. And then there was also something, there was some news a little bit earlier today that we'll get to as well. But the first thing that I want to get into, and you actually have touched on this already in your newsletter, so this is already in your wheelhouse. But, you know, stuff that I've seen throughout the week, talking about how the U.S. is really looking to miss out on billions of dollars as Donald Trump's policies are deterring overseas tourists, whether it's the deportations, the tariffs, all the stuff making the U.S. a less appealing destination. Kind of talk about what you've been seeing and hearing.
Yeah, we did a piece on this, kind of drilling down into some of the numbers here. And, you know, something like one out of every 10 jobs in the country is based on tourism in some form or fashion. And, you know, the estimates of what the losses are going to be annually, you know, are on the, you know, upwards of like $100 to $150 billion in revenue from lost tourism. And you can kind of understand, you know, why tourists are getting cold feet. I mean, there's been stories of, you know, Canadians who, for very minor infractions like overstaying a visa or, you know, not claiming things that you're coming to the country with, even if they're completely anodyne, you know, have been detained for, you know, up to a week. Some of them are held in like solitary confinement facilities. And, you know, there's all these horror stories that have been proliferating basically since the inauguration. And so there's just kind of that fear factor that something really bad could happen if you try and enter the country, you know, which is having a pretty obvious deterrent effect. Not to mention with Canada, who is the number one country for tourists in the U.S., Trump's rhetoric, you know, the annexation stuff, the Governor Trudeau stuff, that I think has played a role in kind of turning people off. So, you know, on top of the tariffs, on top of, you know, the policies that have been hurting the economy, some of Trump's rhetoric and I guess some of the policies in terms of the hardline immigration policies, the crackdown on the border, are also playing a role in, you know, really kind of deterring economic activity. And there's a lot of trickle down, not just with the people entering the country, but of course the hotels, the restaurants, the venues that are losing out on revenue too. So it's a little bit of an underappreciated aspect of how Trump, you know, is hurting the country.
Yeah, I just, you know, when I look at this, man, what's the biggest number that you've seen kind of maybe a guesstimate on how much America could lose? in terms of tourism dollars?
The expert that we talked to for our piece said it was about $150 billion was his estimate. And, you know, he's a professor of, you know, basically, you know, he studies tourism as part of his, as part of what he studies at NYU. So, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot. That's staggering, man. And you know what? The average American might not say that that's a big deal. That's a big deal, though. That is, man, 150, did you say billion with the B?
Billion, yes. And to put this in context, you know, the savings that Doge has been promising is on the order of about $150 billion. So it's about the same. So, you know, all of this, the touting and the hype about Doge and the cost savings, when you put it in that context, you know, even taking their numbers at face value, and the Doge numbers are probably pretty highly inflated, even those savings are basically canceled out, you know, by the lost revenue from tourism. You know, one stat that I've seen is that the inbound flights from Canada to the U.S. is down 70% this year compared to last. And, you know, and that's also, you know, there's travel advisories for the U.S. in a lot of European nations at this point, citing, you know, some of the instances of people being detained at airports and, you know, just visa issues. And so, yeah, I mean, we're in the early stages of it, but it looks like this is going to be a theme going forward, just less tourism into the U.S.
All right. So walk me through this next story, Aaron, about Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan, who was arrested. What was it? Was it like 10 days ago or a week ago? And I think that a lot of Americans, when they hear that on the surface, they're like, what? What the heck is going on? Kind of tell me where we're at with this story, with this case, because I know that she has since been suspended and charged with two federal counts on allegations of trying to help an undocumented immigrant avoid arrest.
Yeah, so the story here was there was an immigrant who was in court for an unrelated, you know, hearing of some sort, and ICE was tipped off to this, and there was, you know, they had some sort of, they wanted to detain this migrant, so they came into the courtroom, and Judge Dugan basically, you know, allegedly told the migrant and their counsel that, you know, there's kind of a back door that they could exit and evade the ICE agents. And so, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Trump defying the courts and judicial rulings. This wasn't really that. This was kind of an unrelated thing, but obviously there's a huge chilling effect here, you know, where if they're arresting judges, where does that end? You know, by all accounts, this is not a criminal act, you know, to basically tell, you know, someone in this situation how to exit without being detained by ICE. But this has been kind of the new policy of the Trump administration that they're trying to implement, which is basically that if local judges, if local officials don't help them implement their agenda, that, you know, they're doing something criminal. So, yeah, she's been arrested. She was perp walked out of her courtroom, which obviously, you know, was kind of a spectacle in its own right. And that has a chilling effect as well. So we'll see, you know, if this is something that has any merit in terms of a conviction. It doesn't seem like it will. But, you know, in instances like this, it's kind of the process, the show of arresting a judge, marching her out of her courtroom that, you know, I think kind of speaks volumes.
Yeah, this is kind of a very scary situation, at least, you know, from my standpoint and of view with all of this going on. We're talking to Aaron Rupar, Public Notice Newsletter here on The Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, the next story that I wanted to dive in with you is just, or not even news story, because it's not new news, but with regards to the tariffs, what's your opinion of China's stance right now? Because they're just not backing down. Like they are staring down Donald Trump, and they're like, okay, make a move if you want to make a move, but you're telling the world that we're negotiating and we're working through things, but then that's not really a thing. Like, where are we at with this standoff?
Yeah, you know, the standoff with China would be less damaging if we hadn't basically started a trade war with the entire world. Because China, you know, obviously the trade war with the U.S. really hurts them because we are their largest export market. But at the same time, they are trying to make up with that by drawing closer to the EU, by drawing closer to some of their neighbors in Asia, you know, in fostering new economic relationships with other countries, whereas we are kind of pulling back from the world stage on multiple fronts. You know, we're also talking about, you know, tariffing the EU heavily. We obviously have tariffs on Canada and Mexico. And so, you know, China, I think in that way, kind of has a stronger negotiating posture than the U.S., where they're more proactively finding, you know, they're making up for the lost trade with other countries in a way that the United States is not. And, you know, that's been a weird thing where Trump, keeps talking about how there's dialogue with China, they're negotiating, but then Chinese officials very consistently have said, no, we're not communicating with them, we're not backing down. So obviously, you know, it's hard to take the Chinese regime at face value that they're telling the truth, but it's also hard to take the Trump administration at face value that they're telling the truth. So, you know, who knows what's actually going on there. But the administration official who has been tasked with negotiating a China deal, who is Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, when he's gone on TV and talked about this, he's basically said, you know, they can call me, but I'm not calling them. So, it seems like if he is kind of the designated negotiator and he's saying that he's not been in touch, that's probably what's going on, is that there just isn't communication here. So, yeah, I mean, again, you know, I think China is in that way kind of has leverage over the U.S. because it seems like they are more proactively trying to make up for losses, whereas, you know, Trump's attitude towards all this seems to be that it's going to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. And that in some ways seems like he, you know, isn't really bothered by the downturn in economic activity, because I think, you know, he views this as kind of like a reordering of the whole economy in sort of a short-term pain, long-term gain scenario.
Let me ask you this, Aaron. Do you think that the media's job is getting even more difficult? And what I mean by that is that it seems as though with a lot of these news stories and the reporting, we never get the truth out of different people within the Trump administration. His spokespeople and press secretaries, they make up things. And then when he goes and has sit downs with 60 Minutes and all of these, not 60 Minutes, but who was it? Was it Terry?
ABC.
Terry Moran. Yeah. Like, it just, it's to me, it's media's job is so tough right now when you literally talk to somebody about things that are fake, like tattoos, and they tell the rest of the world, no, what I'm saying is correct.
Yeah, it's also hard to disentangle the lies from kind of the ignorance, like with the tattoo thing that you're bringing up, where Trump on ABC was saying, you know, about Abrego Garcia, that he had MS-13 tattooed on his knuckles. But Trump's evidence for this was an image that he posted on social media of him holding a printout of, you know, Photoshop image showing MS-13 on Abrego Garcia's knuckles that wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
So it's like, is Trump just lying, or is he really that confused about what's going on, or is it some combination of that? Now, I will say in the context of economic news, it's a little bit harder for them to lie because usually there are numbers, you know, kind of underlying the news, whether it be the stock market or jobs numbers or GDP. You know, we may get to a spot before too long where Trump may try to even kind of cook the books on some of the economic numbers. That would not surprise me in the slightest, or exert more control over how they are calculated, how they're released. But we're not quite there yet. So, you know, I think with the economic news, it's a little bit harder for them to lie. But, you know, that's kind of a daily struggle for me, is to try and find where that line between kind of the malevolence, you know, the bad intentions that they have, and just kind of the overall ignorance and chaos, you know, where that line is. And with various Trump claims that he makes, you know, whether he's lying, whether he's confused, or both.
Yeah. Final thing for you. Trump, it sounds like, has ousted Mike Waltz as national security advisor. Just your thoughts on that, because that's like the biggest story of the day.
Yeah, you know, so obviously Waltz was the signal gate. He was the guy who created the chat room that Pete Hegseth subsequently, you know, texted the war plans into, that a journalist was in. So, you know, in a normal administration, that would have been it for Mike Waltz right there. And then the chef's kiss was, I'm sure you saw this today, that Waltz, one of his last acts as national security advisor, was being in a cabinet meeting yesterday with Trump. And there were images circulating today where a journalist got a photo of Waltz during the meeting, and you could kind of zoom in. He was looking at his phone, and you could see that he was on signal during this cabinet meeting. And, you know, you could even read some of the text, you know, that he had on his phone because he just had it out. So, I mean, that's just kind of like a chef's kiss, where it's like, I've never seen anyone in my life who loves signal as much as this guy loves signal, and he just can't stay off of it for some reason. But, you know, a lot of the reporting about what's been going on, both at the security apparatus and then over with the Defense Department, too, has been kind of hard to figure out exactly what's going on. Like, there's been allegations that a lot of the Hegseth aides were leaking. Some of the top deputies to be Hegseth were fired last week and accused of leaking. But it hasn't really come to light exactly what they were leaking or who they were leaking to, or if it's, you know, if the allegations of leaking are kind of a cover for something else that's going on. So I was actually kind of surprised that Waltz was the first guy to take a fall and not Hegseth. But it seems like there are leaks, you know, increasingly around Hegseth about some of the dysfunction in the Defense Department. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's next. And then, you know, the funny thing with the Waltz firing is that, I don't know if you saw, but J.D. Vance was on Fox this evening, and he was trying to spin it like, oh, you know, he just wanted to spend more time with his family. This is actually a promotion for Mike Waltz being the U.N. ambassador.
Sure.
So, you know, he was trying to reframe the whole thing as, oh, we weren't unhappy with Mike at all. He's been doing a great job. In fact, he's been doing such a good job that we need him for this different role. But, you know, again, that's pretty obvious BS.
Yeah, that's a bunch of crap. Now, I mean, what are the odds? Do you think that Hegseth, will survive 2025 in the role that he's in?
I don't think so, because when you start getting the cascading leaks that we're seeing, most of them about the dysfunction of the Defense Department, that indicates that there are people close to Pete who are not happy with how things are going. And so, you know, we saw this many times in Trump 1.0, where, you know, once you get the cascade of stories about, you know, dysfunction at the Defense Department and, you know, Pete Hegseth not doing his job and things like that, you know, it seems like you're kind of, you know, the ship is kind of sinking at that point. So I would be surprised. You know, the other thing that's going to be interesting is that the new role that Waltz is going to be in, the UN ambassador, that is a Senate confirmed role. So there are going to be hearings, and those will be very interesting because you can be sure that Democrats will be asking about the signal stuff. They'll be asking about Pete Hegseth. So that to me was kind of, you know, I wondered if Trump had kind of thought that all the way through, because those hearings are going to be huge spectacles, and there's going to be, it's going to bring all of these scandals back into the news. And it will put Waltz in a situation where he's going to have to answer questions truthfully or risk, you know, perjuring himself.
Yeah. Hey, before I let you go real quickly, how about those Wolves? How about those Wolves? Wolves in five.
That game last night was so satisfying, at least the end of it. I mean, it was kind of an ugly game that I ended up pretty much consuming every Wolves podcast that I could and rewatching the highlights. And I think I was up until about 3 a.m. last night. Just kind of basking in the afterglow. And now, you know, we get to watch Houston and Golden State tomorrow and kind of enjoy it, you know. And if Golden State wins, obviously that series will be fascinating with Jimmy, with the Draymond, Rudy Gobert feud, Steph Curry, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, it was a really fun Lakers series. The home games were amazing. And let's hope the run continues.
I'm hoping so, man. It should be a lot of fun. Hey, as always, Aaron, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yep, that's Aaron Rupar. Check out his newsletter, Public Notice. Does a phenomenal job. We'll take a break. We'll come back quickly. Get to Word on the Street.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
All right, welcome back to the Lake Show. It's time for Word on the Street. Running a little bit behind, but great stuff from Aaron Rupar, as always. But now let's dive in.
Yeah, you're really fortunate to have that relationship with Aaron and just kind of have him in the backyard with kind of everything that he follows. Hey, I don't know if you're a big Game of Thrones fan, but long before they were the last of us, Ellie, and before they'd built Lyanna Mormont into a legendary, if pint-sized, badass, Bella Ramsey was just an 11-year-old actor on the set of a massively popular hit series. And when Thrones star Kit Harington, who played Jon Snow, showed up for his first scene with Ramsey with a self-described arrogance that included not knowing his lines cold, he quickly learned that acting, what he said, opposite some child was not going the way that he expected. Now, Harington notes that Ramsey, quote, brought a confidence and clarity that was quite unusual for a young actor. Now, Ramsey recalls that he had to mouth the lines to him during his shooting. Now, I'm like, oh, my gosh, how awful, Ramsey said, because she didn't want to show up, you know, Kit Harington. But at the time, it came from a very innocent place of being like Kit struggling with his line. And I know, just mouth the line to him. And Harington hasn't forgotten. He said, quote, I do remember you helping me out and it quite being humiliating. Says with a laugh, but yeah, thanks for that. Now, when Ramsey said that their behavior must have been annoying, Harington corrects them, saying it wasn't at all. If anything, I was like, oh, God, I got to up my game. I came here not really being comfortable enough with my lines and the arrogance of however old I was, thinking I'm just opposite some child. Then that child actor is wiping me off the screen. Not like it's a competition, but you're like, oh, I've got a bit too comfortable.
Maybe it is a competition.
In my Jon Snowness. Bella Ramsey's great. Like, they're so good in Last of Us. I haven't seen this season. I know if you follow that either.
I don't.
Last of Us. I know it's like based off the video game. I haven't really cared for the video game, but I watched the first episode or the first season. Hey, Kesha's not calling it a relationship just yet, saying the guy she's been cozying up to for a year is more of what she calls a for fun situation, and she means the X-rated kind. Now, TMZ caught up with Kesha at LAX, strolling alongside health tech entrepreneur Michael Givlery.
With the baby, right?
With a baby?
Was there a picture of her?
I didn't see a baby,
okay,
no.
Okay.
No, I didn't see a baby. Now, it is about baby making, but it's not about the babies in this story. Now, she looked a little red-faced at first. She didn't hold back for long, saying they're not dating, but she's just using him for some good old-fashioned, let's call it sack time.
Mm.
But if he's more than just a hookup, we're not sure why Kesha would drop such an X-rated bomb. Though it's clear there's something going on she's not ready to put a label on. Maybe Michael just makes her giddy and he's the real deal. He's just trying to protect the vibe. Either way, one thing's clear. She's having a whole lot of fun.
Have fun.
Big deal.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
Live
I mean,
it up.
People do it all the time, right?
I'm not mad at you.
So why can't Kesha do it?
She can.
She can.
What she wants.
She should. Hey, somebody that shouldn't do anything at this point is Kanye West. Okay? I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe Kanye just needs to stop doing everything. But he took a hip-hop barbershop debate tongue-lashing to both J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar. I know these are two guys that you like. Though it was truly J. Cole who got dragged through the mud. It began when Yee questioned why Drake ever worked with J. Cole because he felt Cole possessed talent inferiority and his rap shouldn't even be considered music at all. Then he says he automatically discredits anyone who tells him Cole is one of their top rappers and looped in Kendrick, claiming neither star had authentic skills or what they call that sauce in his eyes. He then dissed Ben Affleck's recent Mount Rushmore rapper picks and declared he wasn't a rap genius, all because he selected Kendrick for the list. But when it comes to rap, he wants all the smoke.
You know, Kanye West is just a bad human being right now. He's a lost soul. At this point, how could you not call him a Nazi? He's just a terrible human being. I want no parts of him.
He's just so directionless at this point, and I don't feel like he knows. I mean, you talk about somebody that squandered a great opportunity in life.
He's had it all.
He's had it all.
All he has is money now. He has no respect.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, best thing for Kanye has been the South Park episode, which I think is outstanding about fish sticks. And finally, I didn't know this, but Terrence Howard didn't want to get it on as Marvin Gaye in the big screen and was passing on a starring role in a biopic because Marvin was gay. The actor revealed his very specific reason for rejecting a Marvin Gaye project when he was guest on Bill Maher's Club Random podcast. Well, one kind of says it right there. Terrence says the movie called for him to kiss another man, and he balked. Now, the Empire star says Lee Daniels was behind the gay biopic, but it was Quincy Jones who confirmed to Terrence that Marvin was gay. Terrence said he wouldn't have been able to kiss a man on camera because, quote, I don't fake it. And he doubled down saying that would F me. I would cut my lips off. If I kissed some man, I would cut my lips off. Despite his reasoning, Terrence says he's not homophobic. The issue, at least for Howard, seems to be how he prepares for his role. He said of Marvin, I can't play that character 100%. I can't surrender myself to a place that I don't understand.
I got no issue with this.
Yeah,
like not wanting to kiss a man, if you're a man, doesn't make you homophobic. It's just, you're not, that's not you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do that. You don't want to do that. So I got no issues here with that. I think the one thing about this, whatever the story is there's going to be a lot more questions now about Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Because I had heard that a few years ago about, you know, and you hear about that a lot of times later on, many, many years when somebody's passed on.
Yeah, when somebody can't defend themselves. Yeah,
exactly. Or just, we're living in a different time. Like, Marvin Gaye, that was the 60s and 70s.
That's true. I mean, the information was not available like it is now.
What do you mean? No, the views in the world were different.
Oh, okay. I thought you just meant like people maybe, you know,
no,
hearing things or knowing.
If Marvin Gaye was gay in 2025 versus 75, totally. That's
different story.
Different story.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. I agree. It doesn't make him any less of a legendary performer, but kind of like I don't have a problem with Terrence Howard because I understand you need to get yourself into a certain frame of mind to really dig deep into a character.
And I don't have an issue with him not feeling comfortable.
Nope, not at all.
Yep.
I don't have any problem. Same with you, Lake.
Yep. All right, that's going to wrap up Word on the Street. Coming up next, we'll take a final look at weather. Let's talk Kentucky Derby. Derby picks next on The Lake Show. All right, everybody, I've been asked all week long about the Kentucky Derby. And yes, I would have loved to have had on Jeff Madey or Angela Herman or Kevin Gorg. Everybody's tied up tonight. Kevin Gorg is at the X right now. The Minnesota Wild trail Vegas Golden Knights 2-1, 18 minutes left in the game. So KG's working. Angela Herman, Jeff Madey, Canterbury Park, they're working. They're doing Canterbury College right now and educating everybody on the Kentucky Derby and talking about picks and talking about horses. So you're stuck with me. And I've been known to give out a winner or two. So we're going to go through and I'm going to give you – does the listening audience want me to do like I typically do? I'll give out like a few horses for a few races, or do we just want to focus on the Derby? I guess we'll just focus on the Derby for right now. If somebody weighs in on a text line that they want me to look at other races, 651-461-9226. But with regards to the Kentucky Derby, okay, which is just, that's where the horse racing season to me starts. Yeah, there's been races that have been going on the entire month of May. I'm talking about the entire, to this point, early start of 2025. Because horse racing's year-round. You've got Santa Anita. You've got Oakland that's been running. You've got Gulfstream that's been running. You've got all these different tracks. But now once you get to Churchill Downs and then you transition to the Preakness and then you transition to the Belmont Stakes and all that, that's when everybody feels like summertime is here.
Yeah.
When you get to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I'm not a big horse racing guy, so I'm very curious to kind of hear some of the names, hear some of the horses that you're going to throw, because you're right. It's like, for the casuals like me, we care about the Triple Crown, and that's kind of like, we'll follow it, and if there's history going on.
But that's when everybody hops on board.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the Derby, what do they call it? The most exciting 2 minutes in sports?
Yes.
So, yeah, fire away, Lake. Hit us with some winners.
All right, so the horse that is favored to win is a horse by the name of Journalism. He's bred by Curlin, so it's in the bloodlines, and his record is just unbelievable. He's ran 5 times. He's won 4 of the 5 races. The first time he ran 3rd. He hasn't lost since. Okay, Journalism is 3-1, and I don't play favorites. Just so everybody's aware, I don't play favorites. Okay, I'm going to look for value. And look, if there's a horse that looks like you just can't beat that horse and they're the favorite, if they're going to give you 4-1, then you just take the 4-1. Journalism is 3-1. He is in post position number 8. He has a phenomenal shot at winning this race. And I say that because when you are running in a 20-horse field, you want to be in the middle. You don't want to be up against the rail in 1, 2, or 3. You don't want to be as wide as 20, right? Even though we've seen horses that have run well way outside if they're deep closers. But Journalism is positioned extremely well. So Journalism is on my ticket. The horse right next to Journalism is a sneaky horse, and it's actually the horse that Angela Herman from Canterbury Park is playing for the Derby. Her Derby horse is Burnham Square, the 9 horse, okay, who last time out won the Bluegrass at Keeneland, and the morning line on Burnham Square is 12-1. 12-1. Something else before we go any further that I should note to the listening audience and the Derby fans out there is, and make note of this because this is important. One of the, I would probably say, top 5 or 6 horses in the race in terms of like the handicappers viewing them, Rodriguez, the 4 horse, has been scratched. That horse was scratched.
Is that the Baffert horse?
That's the Baffert horse.
Okay.
That horse that just won the Wood Memorial was scratched today, which means that the also eligible horse, Baeza, draws into the race. So if you are playing the Derby, let me repeat, Baeza with Flavian Pratt, a phenomenal jockey, that horse draws into the race, so that horse will be running. I will say this. I don't like being way on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
This horse has a lot of talent, though. This horse just missed winning the Santa Anita Derby. He will definitely be on my ticket. Now, if you're saying, what are some of the other horses that, Lake, that you will have on your ticket, let me give you the other 3, 4, 5 horses that I will have on my ticket and ones that you should be aware of. This horse I'm not going to have on my ticket is Chunk of Gold, but Chunk of Gold seems to be a closer that could possibly get the distance. The thing that I don't like about Chunk of Gold as a closer is they don't seem to have that turn of foot in terms of like accelerating down the stretch, and I don't like that about Chunk of Gold. Now, he's 30-1, and I've seen worse horses get in there in the exotics, but that's a horse that I think that some people will have on their ticket. I talked to Kevin Gord, who's doing the hockey right now. He's going to have Chunk of Gold on his ticket. A horse that me and KG, and I think Angela, will all have is Sovereignty. Sovereignty is probably going to go off as the 3rd selection, possibly 2nd favorite in the Derby. That is the Bill Mott horse, Sovereignty, who ended up losing in the Florida Derby by, what, a length to Tappan Street? And for the record, just so you guys are aware, Tappan Street was my Derby horse. Tappan Street that got injured last weekend and is out of the Derby. That was the horse that I was all over the last 3 months to get to the Derby. My horse is out, so I'm pivoting to my second choice. My selection for the Kentucky Derby is Grande. Grande, the Pletcher horse, this will be his fourth time running. He was second in the Wood. That's how he was able to qualify and get points to the Kentucky Derby. This horse is improving. I think that he's going to appreciate the distance. He's out of curling. I'm going with Johnny V on the 10 horse, Grande. Morning line is 20-1. I will not get 20-1. I believe that Grande will go off about 15-1, but I'll take 15-1 any day. Other horses that I will have on my ticket is the 3-horse Final Gambit. Me and Kevin Gore talked about this, and Gambit is a closer. People have asked, well, or one of the things that KG was kind of concerned about was the fact that this horse has not run on dirt. And when a horse hasn't run on dirt before, a lot of horses don't like that kickback, the dirt in their face.
That makes sense.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I think this horse has a touch of Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom did the same thing. It translated from synthetic to dirt. Final Gambit is on my ticket at 30-1. Citizen Bull, who won the Breeders' Cup, is 20-1. I don't think that that horse is going to be able to do it because I don't think that the horse is looking to go longer and enjoy the distance. Also, he's in the one hole, which is terrible, and you just don't win from the one, so I just don't see it there. Another horse I'm going to have on my ticket, I don't know what to make of the Japanese horses, but this Luxor Cafe at 15-1 seems to have a lot of speed. Not sure what he's ran against, but he's on my ticket.
Yeah, one thing that I noticed, and again, I'm a Derby novice, and I'm over here taking notes. Like, I'm sitting here, you know, typing away. One thing I did read, though, is that the last four winners of the Kentucky Derby were all 10-1 or greater, which I think is interesting, because when you were talking about long shots and how you don't like to play the favorites. And then I was just kind of, you know, doing some poking around here. But yeah, the last four winners, 10-1 or greater. And when you're talking about these horses and then you're mentioning the odds, it's just kind of funny how that's all kind of lining up with kind of what we've seen over the past 4 years.
Another horse is going to be on my ticket is Sandman. The thing that I'm concerned about, though, with Sandman is he's a deep closer. It's just that turn of foot. I want horses that are going to be not way in the back. I like my horses to be in first flight, kind of within striking distance, like right around like being like 5 or 6 lengths off. So that's why I'm going with Grande. Grande, I think, can position themselves nicely, be in position to stalk and pounce on everybody at the top of the stretch. Pletcher has only won the Derby twice. I think he wins a third Derby.
Wow. Okay.
I'm hoping so.
There it is.
I'm hoping so. All right. 651-461-9226. Final segment of the Lake Show next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Arc Raiders. a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
I do want to mention this as we round out the show. We've only got 2 minutes left here in the show. And I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but is it Jill Soboli? Singer-songwriter of the hit back in 1995, I Kissed a Girl. It says dies in house fire at the age of 66. Died in a Minneapolis house fire. This according to Variety magazine.
Wow. I remember the song very clearly.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, you could probably find it right now. Yeah. Died in a Minneapolis house fire early Thursday morning, her rep confirmed. So I went to the Star Tribune website to see if I could see anything about a fire. And I haven't. No, now they just updated 36 minutes ago. 36 minutes ago. A house fire in Woodbury.
Wow.
Her 1995 single is considered the first top Billboard hit with openly gay themes.
Jenny came over and told me about Fred. He's such a hairy behemoth, she said. Dumb as a box of hammers, but he's such a handsome guy. And I opened up and I told her about Larry.
This is it.
Yesterday, how he asked me to marry, and I'm not giving him an answer yet. I think I could do better. So we laughed.
Yeah, I remember
this.
Oh,
now it sounds a little. Yeah, I never heard it from the beginning.
Here we go.
I kissed a girl.
Yeah, I never heard it from the very beginning. That's why it sounded so different. Man, rest in peace. That's so sad. All right, we got Twins baseball tomorrow. We'll talk to you after right here on the Lake Show.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed.
To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.